kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
God, my throat is so fucking phlegmy tonight.
Oh, dude, me too. I sound like shit. I feel like shit.
This is going to be the cast.
Fuck.
How do you spell that?
Good.
You're good?
I'm ready.
You sure?
I was born ready.
Were you born this way?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was.
Oh, man. What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast, episode number I lost count. I am your host, Joe. Joining me, as usual, is Chris. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
It's good to hear.
I'm not even going to go into it anymore. I'm going to leave it at that, and then we'll get into news, and then we'll talk more.
I'm pulling it up just to see. We are episode number 214. Yeah.
Oh, man. We're climbing. That's really
getting there. We're getting there. I don't know where we're getting, but we're getting there.
Yeah. Wherever there is, we're getting. I like that I'm just now seeing it pulled up on your screen of all the... You still have all of the files?
Every single episode.
Ugh. Man,
every single one.
I don't have anything.
Here's episode 0, the test of testiness.
Jesus Christ.
Episode 7, Bogue versus Wild.
There was a lot of good ones.
Yeah. Episode 37, Fuck Lord of the Moon.
Fuck Lord of the Moon.
Here's like the JoCam versus the Dev series when I was still like doing the regular ones with you and Pappy before he bailed. And then I would... And now it's just like a common occurrence where I'm just doing them by myself.
That's because you're the man and you can cover it all.
All the way up to last week with episode 213, 213.
213.
Do you like how that's the name of the episode?
I love it. That's like one of my favorite titles to date.
213. There's 213. Some good ones.
Oh, there's some great ones.
Let's see. Here's a really descriptive one. Harmonix episode number 7.
Yeah.
Some good stuff.
There's a lot of good ones.
So, a lot of news going on this week.
I'm ready. I'm so excited for news. I love talking news.
Like a buttload of news. We'll first up tackle some Xbox stuff. Two new games were added to the backward compatibility lineup this week.
Okay.
First off, today was Joust.
Oh, cool. I think I have that.
I don't. I was like, wow, there's a game I don't have.
I think I might have gotten it with, I think it was actually when I did my year of Xbox Live or something like that. It was with the card. I think. It was something along the lines of that, but I got it with a promotional thing.
Nice. And then, the other one, Call of Duty. 2.
Oh.
Yes, that is correct. An Xbox 360 launch title.
Oh, how Call pissed of Duty are they? 2.
People are thrilled.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because it's just an old school World War II game. And people are like, hey, we could go back and play this before the series got, you know, lost
Shitty.
Up its own ass.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
So, yeah, they also, it's not available yet, but next month, they confirmed another game will be added because this segues into, look at that, segues.
Segway.
The Xbox Games with Gold for September have been announced.
Okay, are they crazy?
Xbox 360 is really, really good. Xbox One is kind of unproven because, well, we'll start with the Xbox One.
Okay.
First up, for the entire month of September, is a brand new game called Earthlock Festival of Magic from Snowcastle Games.
Okay, what's it about?
Gorgeous looking JRPG style game.
I'm already not interested.
I know you're not. I am very, very interested. $29.99 value, so that's exciting alone right there.
Well, I mean, I'm going to download it anyway. Well, I'll I'll attribute it to my account, but I don't think I'm going to install it.
Hey, you might like it. This might be the one, Chris.
No, this is going to be the stuff that I pad my account with so that my hypothetical girlfriend that plays those types of games.
Nice.
She'll be like, oh, you have this game? And I'll be like, yeah, I do.
You're damn right I do. How far'd you get in it?
About that. I didn't even launch it.
I'm excited for it. I emailed Snowcastle back on July 19th because I saw it pop up on Xbox Achievements. They have like an upcoming release calendar. And in my email, I inquired about it. I'm like, P.S., quick question. I notice it's coming out September 1st, and that's a Thursday. I know you can't talk about this, but this is going to be Games with Gold, isn't it? So I called that shit over a month ago.
Well, you should have tweeted that.
I actually did to someone else, but I didn't tweet it. I didn't want to proclaim, like, I know one of the games for September. Ho-ho! But I'm excited. Yeah. I never heard back from them, but still, I'm excited for it. Apparently, their Kickstarter backers are pissed.
Why?
Because if they selected the Xbox One for the console and they have gold, would they back it for?
Shits and giggles.
they said that the developers were like, listen, partnering with Microsoft for this helped fund this game and make it what it is today. So if you selected the Xbox One as your console of choice, feel free to request a different one. We're more than happy to accommodate that. Or give your code to a friend who might not have Xbox Live Gold.
Yeah, damn it.
Yeah.
You should be like, hey, I really like this game. Now I can give it to somebody else.
Or, you know, if you don't have Xbox Gold or it runs out, you still have the game from backing it.
Dude, there's plenty of times that I bought games and then they ended up becoming like Games with Gold almost like the next fucking month. Like,
no, I know.
Whatever, man. Like, sometimes it happens.
And the cool thing is it's a month exclusive on Xbox, so we get it a month before everyone else.
Oh, that's cool.
See on the chat, how many people don't have Xbox Live Gold, though? You'd be surprised.
I didn't all the way up until, what was it, last month? Just because I wanted to play a game with you.
Randall in chat, me.
Yep. Yeah, normally I don't have gold, because most of the time I'm playing on my PC. So it's very difficult for me to justify it, but once in a while I'll get these games. Like last month, I really wanted just to have WWE on the back burner. So yeah. I didn't mind paying for the year to have like free games every once in a while, because I know that they're going to hit games that I'm going to want anyway. So
true.
It just, sometimes it's a very difficult purchase to justify depending on what your finances are like. That's all.
I figure if you get it like on sale for 30, 35 bucks, that's worth it.
Oh yeah. Fuck yeah. I mean, most of the time, I'm not paying attention enough to know when it goes on sale for that cheap and have the money to do so. But it's good to kind of like keep your eye out. And when it does drop down that low, just be like, all right, fuck it. I'll just get it for a year and then forget about it until they send me emails that it's running out.
Yeah. But anyway, the other game for the month from September 16th through October 15th. This one's Assassin's Creed Chronicles China.
Isn't that a 360 game?
No, it's on Xbox One.
Oh, okay. Was this like a remaster?
No, it's like the 2D side-scrolling one.
Oh, I didn't know there was a 2D side-scrolling one.
There were three of them that they released in a bundle.
Oh, and they're only giving you one?
Well, because they were released separately, like months apart. They're only $10 games. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bummer.
They're like more arcade style games.
Well, I mean, maybe it'll be fun. I'll give it a shot. Does it play almost like a Ninja Gaiden-ish thingy?
No, it's more stealth based.
Oh.
Yeah. It'll be free, so just try it. And
well, yeah.
I am being informed live in chat that apparently BioWare announced their Mass Effect Andromeda Collector's Edition, so I need to Google this. Mass Effect Andromeda.
Have they been really saying anything about Andromeda? Like,
not really that I've been following. Like, they asked, you know, have you been following the Mass Effect news? And I thought it was EA commenting that, you know, oh, well, we're, you know, considering doing a remaster trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was the news, but apparently no.
There's other shit.
Yeah, indeed. I'm seeing stuff from, like, July about a collector's edition. I'm not seeing anything recent. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, Xbox 360 games with gold. I'm excited about this one. September 1st through the 15th, Forza Horizon.
Oh, fuck yeah.
The first one.
Fuck yeah.
The first one, which is fucking awesome. Like, I prefer the first one to the second one.
Yeah. Actually, I tend to agree.
Because the first one was, like, completely open, where the second one, it's like, go here, race three times, take a road trip here, race three times, take a road... Like, I was tired of the road trips.
Yeah, I got kind of tired of those, too.
But Forza Horizon for free, which means it's joining the backward compatibility lineup, because
which
that's
means,
a new one.
Which means, fuck yes.
And Horizon 3 comes out at the end of the month... So that's a perfect time to get back into the Horizon spirit.
I forgot Horizon 3 was coming out, like, soon.
Yup. And then the rest of the month, the 16th through the 30th, Mirror's Edge.
Oh, nice!
Yup.
That's cool. Yeah, I prefer the 360 lineup this time.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I'm excited for Earthlock, so... But I know not everyone's going to care about an RPG... I'm just excited that we're getting new RPGs on the Xbox One.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, even though I'm not going to play them, I'm glad that we're getting them too, because it needs them. It's a big market, so.
And then the last little bits of Xbox news I have is that, first up, websites are losing their goddamn minds because the game ReCore coming out next month is, quote-unquote, only 6.5 gig in size. I mean, clearly, if it's not 40 gig plus, it's a shitty game, right?
What? They're legitimately freaking out about the size of the game.
They just think, oh, is this cause for concern? Is it going to live up to the you know, the hype and the word? It's, you know, blah, 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 because it's only 6.5 gig.
Hey, assholes. How big is the install for Minecraft? I'm curious. I'm fairly certain I might be able to fit that on a fucking floppy drive if I needed to. that makes no fucking sense to me.
Yeah.
That makes absolutely no sense to me.
I mean,
you can't judge a game by the fucking file size. Like, that's dumb.
People are going to be like, oh, well, then they shouldn't treat it like a AAA title. They're not. It's a $40 game. And they've been very upfront about the fact that they're like, yeah, this is just a single player game, no multiplayer. That's why we're pricing it at $40.
Yeah, dude. So a $40 game. There's AAA games that are $60 games that I bet you have a smaller file size than that.
Possibly.
Like,
I don't know.
That's dumb. That's so dumb.
Anyway, final Xbox news I have is we are getting The Witness, Jonathan Blow's game that came out on PS4 and Steam back in January. It is hitting Xbox One September 13th.
I'm not familiar with this title.
Like a first-person puzzle game. Oh. Jonathan Blow, the guy who did Braid.
Oh, okay.
We covered this game 3 years ago during the PS4 reveal stuff.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
You expect me to remember back to 3 years ago?
Yes.
Well, no. I can't. I cannot do that.
Yeah. He confirmed to IGN that there are some technical differences, but basically it's the same game. So there's not going to be any kind of exclusive content or stuff like that.
Okay.
I've heard plenty of good about it. So I'm excited to finally give it a shot on the Xbox One, because Lord knows if I picked it up on the PS4, I'd play it once and then never touch it again.
That's fair.
Now that it's coming to Xbox One, I'm probably going to put some actual time into it.
Well, that sounds like a good time.
And then PlayStation news. I actually have a big chunk of PlayStation news.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. First up, PlayStation Plus is going up in price.
PlayStation Plus is going up in price.
Yep.
Okay.
It is going up to $59.99 in the U.S., so same as Xbox Gold.
Okay.
And $69.99 in Canada. And the general consensus online has been that of fury and anger, given how shitty the PlayStation Plus lineup has been for months now. I mean, we've griped about it on a monthly basis
at this point. There's normally sucks.
And, you know, people are just pissed. They're like, God, at least, you know, Xbox only gets four games, but you get to play all four of them on the new console, where with PlayStation Plus, I only get two of them, and they're usually indie games.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The price is going up next month, so you can still stock up on time now. Hopefully this means that the quality of their games is going to go up in PlayStation Plus.
Not to mention the quality of their service.
Very true.
Like, how many security breaches have they had
in the recent
years? And they want to justify upping up the price?
And on that bit, they finally implemented two-step authentication for PlayStation Network. Today, they did it.
Like an authenticator?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like they text your phone.
Yeah.
With a code that you gotta put in.
I mean, they should be doing that shit, honestly.
Someone mentioned it on Facebook, and my comment was about goddamn time.
Yeah, that's fair.
For how many breaches and issues they've had, so. About fucking time.
Yep. I think Blizzard just updated theirs again, too.
Nice. A PlayStation 4 Slim is basically confirmed at this point. It hasn't been announced, but it's been showing up on auction sites and unboxings and all this other stuff, even though it's not announced.
Why won't they just announce it then?
Because Sony? I don't know. People gave Xbox shit when they announced the Xbox One S with the Scorpio coming out next year. So maybe PlayStation doesn't want to be like, oh, hey, we're releasing a Slim and then the Neo's coming out this fall. I don't know.
So what exactly is the Neo?
That's the more powerful PS4.
Oh, right. With the, okay. Yeah, all right.
With the teraflops and stuff like that, and the 4K and the VR and
okay. That
jazz. The Slim is supposed to hit September 14th worldwide, allegedly. It is smaller than the current PS4 with rounded corners, and it is an entirely matte finish. I saw pictures of it. I don't know if you've seen anything online about it. You might want
a picture.
It looks like a fucking panini press.
It does look like a panini press.
It looks ugly as fuck.
I mean, I really don't care about the aesthetics of consoles anymore because I never tend to like them.
I still enjoy the fact that there's a console that has overheating issues and loud fan issues.
And then they're
going to
make it smaller. Yeah. Yeah.
The units that have been shown so far have only had a 500 gig hard drive, which is fucking stupid considering that the PS4 still doesn't have external hard drive support.
That's coming out though, right?
Not that I know of. Nope.
Not at all?
Nope.
Huh.
They insist that it's for security issue, you know, security reasons.
Oh, fucking.
So that, you know,
that's
you
ridiculous.
Could swap the internal, so pay for an internal and then open your console, swap the hard drives, and then re-download fucking everything. But you can't plug one in. No. Because we see the rampant piracy on the Xbox One with their external hard drive support.
There really isn't, though, right?
That's the joke.
I'm making sure, because, I mean, I could see how people would try and do it, but I'm trying to think of if that's, like, currently an issue.
I haven't heard anything about piracy on the new consoles, really.
Well, I'm assuming most of the time you have to be logged in, yeah? Like,
pretty much. I mean, you can play them offline, but you lose so much functionality.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even get achievements popping offline because they're tied to online.
Yeah. That's kind of weird. I'm not going to lie.
It's because achievements were hacked so much on the 360.
Yeah.
So they made it so that you need to be online for achievements to pop. Which I understand. There were how many people who would, you know, download a save file and pop all 1,000 achievement points. I mean, for most people, like, what's the big deal? But,
yeah,
you know, Microsoft doesn't want that shit happening. So I still enjoy the days you would look back and see news articles where Microsoft cracked down on people who did that, reset their gamer score, and then changed their, like, their region or, like, their zone on the 360, how it would, like, pro or recreational or whatever. Yeah. They changed it to cheater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's brutal.
I know. Those were fun.
It's funny.
PlayStation Now is coming to PC.
I heard about this.
Which will mark the first time that PlayStation is going to have stuff on a Windows PC.
I'm interested.
It is the same subscription as on consoles, like on the PS4, PS3, on the Vita. Access to over 400 PS3 games. Again, this is all streaming, so you need to have a good internet connection. Subscription is $20 a month or $45 for 3 months. And then they are also going to be releasing a DualShock 4 wireless adapter for $24.99.
Yeah, but do you need to use their controller to play
them?
No,
you need to use their controller, but you can just plug it in via USB. Like, have a cord running, but if you want it wireless.
No, but I'm talking like, so if I do PlayStation Now, do they make it where I have to use a PlayStation controller to play them?
I believe so, yes.
I can't just use a different controller or my mouse and keyboard?
I don't believe so.
That's retarded.
You can't use your mouse and keyboard anyway. They're frigging console games.
What? Well, yeah, they're streaming. Yeah, but... All right.
I mean, if you want to use the PlayStation, like the streaming from PS4 to your PC, you need to use a DualShock there. So I would assume that you need to have a DualShock 4 for PlayStation Now on PC. It would make sense.
I'll have to look into that when that actually hits then, because I'm not going to buy a fucking controller just to play like a handful of games that I'm going to be probably underwhelmed by anyway.
Because keep in mind, they're all PS3 games.
Right, but there's a lot of PS3 games that I didn't play.
Oh, I know, and there's 400 games available, so there's a decent library as long as you have the connection to, you know, to handle streaming entire games.
Oh, I'm hardwired, baby. I got 150? Yeah, 150 megs?
Nice.
Yeah, I'm good.
But dial-up users need not apply.
Oh, fuck no. If you still have dial-up and you're attempting to play games... Just forget about it. the whole gaming community as a whole, like, would probably be better off if you didn't try, because then it's only going to bring down everybody else's connection that you're trying to play with.
True.
So just public service announcement.
Xylofreak would be more inclined if PS1 and 2 games were included.
I would be too.
I agree, but, you know, if they did that, then Sony can't resell them on the PS4 for another $15.
Yeah, because, you know, they got to make their money somehow. Yeah, yeah, no, I think the more and more that Sony reveals how they like to conduct their business in gaming, like I'm just not interested. Like if it's really locked that you can't use another controller, like that's just being a baby.
Yeah, like, I can understand it.
That's dumb.
That would be like using an Xbox 360 controller on a PS3.
It could technically be done.
Yeah, with proper adapters.
Sure. So why can't I use different adapters, ergo?
Because those adapters aren't endorsed by Sony. They're all third-party things that are not, you know, smiled upon.
I'm going to... There's probably a way.
Might be. I don't know. It's not out yet, so... I think they have a soft launch in a handful of countries, but I don't think it's out in America yet.
I'm sure there'll be a way. I'll figure it out.
Final bit of news that I have is that on the PlayStation side of things, there is a new Humble Bundle for PlayStation.
Okay.
It is Capcom themed.
Okay.
If you pay $1 or more, you get Wolf of the Battlefield, Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix, Final Fight Double Impact, all on the PS3, and then your choice of Strider on the PS3 or PS4. For a buck.
For a dollar.
Yeah.
Okay.
And cool. And a 45% off coupon for Street Fighter 5.
That's pretty cool.
A coupon. If you pay more than the average, which last I saw it was at like $12.50, something like that. So it's a high average. You get Lost Planet 3, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix, Okami HD, Remember Me, and the Mega Man 9 and 10 combo pack on PS3. And then your Resident Evil HD on your choice of PS3 or PS4 for the average. So let's assume it's $13. All of that stuff for $13.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And then the final tier, which is pay 15 or more. So again, that's why the average is so high.
Okay.
You also get Devil May Cry HD Collection on PS3.
Oh, wow.
So that's what, 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah, that's a lot.
And then Resident Evil 0 Remastered on your choice of PS3 or PS4.
That's interesting that you get to choose.
Yeah. Well, that way, if, you know, you have a PS4, you could get a handful of the games on the PS4. Now, honestly, if you only own a PS4, the bundle, honestly, it's still a good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not
Strider,
bad.
Resident Evil, and Resident Evil 0 for $15. That's still a goddamn good deal.
Yeah.
If you have a PS3 and you don't have all those games, holy shit, you need to jump on that. I think there's like 9 days left, 8 days, something like that.
Yeah, you should probably get on that.
So, yeah, jump on that shit. Good deal. Good, good deal.
What's next?
That's all the news I got. You got anything?
You know, every time I think that I have something to add, we end up covering it, so.
Yeah, you bitch.
I know.
Yeah, you big bitch. So.
These things happen.
I guess we'll jump on to reviews.
Might as well.
Unless, I could have sworn there was something you were talking about before we started.
Oh,
watching
no, that's just what I've been doing in my spare time.
So, Chris, what have you been doing in your spare time?
I've actually been watching, this was just today, I've been watching a lot of competitive streams of Counter-Strike and Overwatch. And the ones from today, is the Open Overwatch League, I think it's the prize pool is like $300,000 or something stupid like that.
That's insane.
And then the Counter-Strike one was like fucking a million. I don't even know. Probably more than that. But it got me thinking, like, you know, maybe I should be watching. I know a lot of people are very against the whole like esports kind of push. Like the hyper competitive kind of scene. But I've been learning so much more about the games just by watching people play, because like the level of gameplay is just absolutely insane. It's almost like you get a much more accurate representation of the way that the game is supposed to be played when you're watching competitive like players on this level.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. It's really, really cool. I've been enjoying it. I've been dying to get into competitive gaming again. Like I used to do Counter-Strike tournaments when I was younger. But that was back when Counter-Strike was like, they were local tournaments. They weren't anything crazy. But they were still sanctioned by Valve. So they were official tournaments. I've been dying to get back into that just because I think it's really, really interesting. But, it's grown so fucking big now. Like, it's just, you hear about these teams making like millions and millions of dollars just for playing a game. It's kind of ridiculous.
Remember when, well, no, I'm still older than you, but when we were kids, it'd be like, maybe one day you can make a living playing video games.
I know, right? Like, it's just, what the fuck?
Surprise,
man.
Motherfucker, you can make a living playing video games.
Yeah, right? Like, no, well, even Twitch streaming, I mean, like,
there's people out there making bank just streaming games. Just,
yeah. I mean, it's very, I think I'm going to be attempting to try and do this in my off time from the band just because like it's something that I obviously enjoy and something that I like doing. I don't necessarily want to go into it with the intentions of attempting to make money. If it comes along with it, then cool. But it's just, there are certain games that I just feel like that speak to me a little bit like more than others, like obviously with Diablo and Overwatch and Hearthstone and Counter-Strike, and like those are all games that like no matter how many other games I've played and you know how long I've been playing these games for, I always go back to them, and there's always like they're important to me. So I think it would be really cool to be able to show that to other people online, and it's, I don't know. It's an interesting thing that I never thought that I would genuinely be interested in watching somebody else play a game. Yeah. But you don't realize how much you learn, and how much, it can change your perception of a game completely just by watching somebody else do it. It's really interesting. I actually thought
Zylo
about
in the chat says try speedrunning, which we've covered that on the show before.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
I have thought about it. There was one game in particular, and I thought about it when I was younger just because I played it so much that it became like, how quick can I do this? Was Gunstar Heroes.
I thought you were going to say McDonald Treasure Land Adventure.
Oh, dude, I want to do that too. Cause I swear to God, I'll be the only fucking person that like wants like to try and do a speed run of that game. But yeah, like there's certain things that you could do within the gaming community that, some people wouldn't necessarily think of that are potentially lucrative, which is fucking ridiculous. Like,
so we mentioned competitive Overwatch and speedrunning games. Did you see the article on Kotaku today about Overwatch?
Which one?
with instead of getting a high rank, there's a scene out there working on getting the lowest ranks possible. And there is a guy in Overwatch with a zero ranking.
A zero rank?
Yes.
That's hysterical, actually.
A zero. And it goes through, you know, he accidentally won a game and he lost like 8 hours of progress. Because of how little you lose when you're a rank two.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
So rank two.
It is a really, really good read. I would suggest you check it out. It's just called The Guy with the Lowest Possible Rank in Overwatch.
Huh.
And apparently he, when he hit zero, it just reset to one because the game doesn't.
It doesn't recognize zero as a rank.
Yeah.
Wow, that's hysterical.
And he actually has, like, a crew of people who just intentionally lose.
Like, throw the games. That's funny.
Like, that's they're funny. Trying to make it seem close, but still lose at the very end.
Wow.
He plays as Hanzo, and someone, like, cursing him out accidentally called him Hanjo. So now, like, he just, the only thing he says online is, I Hanjo.
I Hanjo.
Yeah. That's it. And he's hoping that, like, Blizzard will just put in an I Hanjo, like, voice clip in the game. Which if anyone is gonna do it.
Oh, it's Overwatch is. Blizzard. Dude, yeah. Like, I don't know if you saw, but, like, on the, I think in their subreddit, there might be doing a contest for, potential, play of the game, like, clip things.
And oh, nice.
I saw one for Reaper, and it's literally just him, like, on top of a pile of all of his guns that he just keeps throwing, like, throwing away.
Oh, God. I like the fact that, yeah, Hanjo, and then there's a Widowmaker who is now Windowmaker. And then Tracer is Tracker. Just a fucking squad of Windowmaker, Tracker, and Hanjo.
That's fantastic. See, and you know what? And this, I think ultimately, when it comes to competitive, like super serious competitive games, I think my two big competitive games are going to be Overwatch and Hearthstone, because I feel like Overwatch, when it comes to a first-person shooter, like, yeah, like, Counter-Strike technically has, like, bigger tournaments and stuff like that, but Overwatch, it has such a charm, and it's so, like, there's so many different play styles and so many different game, like game modes and everything like that, and they're constantly changing it with the Tavern Brawl. Like, it doesn't get boring. Like, Counter-Strike has been getting very boring for me because I've been playing it for so goddamn long. And if you don't have the perfect crew to play that game, it can really crush your soul. But at least with Overwatch, like, even if you get random people, like, most people understand the game enough that, like, they're not horrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's some times where I attempt to play a competitive game in Counter-Strike, and I get, like, a 12-year-old that's just running around fucking, like, trying to 360 no-scope fuck everybody because they're coming over from Call of Duty being assholes. Like, doesn't work that way.
Bro. Fucking no-scope, bro.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. I legitimately had, like, I played a game yesterday because I've been trying to up my ranks. I played a game yesterday, and the kid legitimately was just running around and just spinning around in circles. Like, he wasn't even shooting anybody. He was just running and spinning. That's it. Whee! That's all he was doing. Like, of course I'm going to fucking lose ranks when I've got, like, idiots like that that are playing with me. Like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess we could move on to the reviews. Actually, there is one little more bit of news, but it ties in with one of the games we're reviewing.
Okay. So we'll just talk about it when we get there then.
Well, I figure we would lead off with this one.
Well, then let's talk about it right now.
The game has been getting a horrible reputation online recently. The game is called Soulbrain: Night of Darkness. Developed and published by Lightning Game Studios, it released August 16th on the PS4 for $13.99. Have you seen any of the news about this game?
Negative.
Have you seen the trailer for this game?
I'm trying to find it.
Yes. You actually might have some trouble finding the newest trailer, because the trailer that was on the PlayStation Store had music from Ori and the Blind Forest.
Oh, what?
Yes. This game is, like, blowing up online because everyone is just calling out all the stolen assets in this game.
Really?
Like, the art.
I can't find it.
The art for the game, like, the icon art is apparently some image ripped off of DeviantArt. The character's outfit in the game is yanked from Terra. The one icon in the game is directly out of Skyrim. The trailer music was Ori and the Blind Forest, like I mentioned. The game, we try to find good stuff to say about the game on this show. And like some of the textures and scenery is nice, I guess. This is a shit show.
Yeah, holy fuck, man. This is ridiculous. I'm looking it up right now.
I don't want to get too far into the controversy because it's not really my place to judge that stuff. I got to call the game like I see it. The gameplay, there's no story. It's basically wave after wave of fighting enemies and walking around an arena that's like four different settings.
Huh.
Like a rocky shore. There's one that it was just you were running around on water. There was like a desert with a graveyard there. There is absolutely zero hit. I don't want to say hit detection, but like when you hit an enemy, you can't tell you hit it. Like there's no sound effect. There's no flash. There's no like your sword doesn't bounce off them or anything. Like a number will pop up, which most of the time it doesn't seem like the damage numbers mean shit because there's two attacks in the game, normal attack and then a magical attack. The magic attack I've seen do 9 damage and kill an enemy. And I've seen my physical attacks do like 12, 14, and I have to hit them multiple times to kill them. So like shit just doesn't make sense in the game. Visually, there's ups and downs.
Their logo is the Legend of Zelda font.
Yeah. Yeah. Visually, there's highs and lows. My biggest issue visually with the game, is things in the distance are super blurry. And it was legitimately hurting my eyes running around trying to find the last enemies in a wave. Just because everything was so fucking blurry. It was giving me a headache.
Wow. Yeah. And they were pushing this game.
Yeah, like Sony would, they had the trailer on their YouTube page. It had a featured slot in the store. Like, Did they look at this thing? If this was a $3 or $4 game, I can kind of understand the people picking it up for morbid curiosity, but a $14 game with this much controversy behind it and the gameplay, it's not really entertaining. Like I was playing, I got as far as I could. I got to like world 6 or 7 or something like that out of 11. And the last enemy in a wave spawned out of bounds.
And you couldn't kill it?
So I had no way to kill it. So you figure you would just hit start, go back to the menu and continue, right? There is no pause menu.
Huh?
Like you hit the start button, nothing happens. There is no pausing in the game. There's no pause menu, hit start and exit. The only way I could end that game was to dashboard out and kill the game. And best part is it doesn't save any of your progress.
Ever?
Nope.
What? So I'm guessing we're going to deny it.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, but this game is a very easy deny it.
Okay,
then. It's just an absolute shit show. The controversy going on with the game, I can't look past it. It's just, it's not a good product. For $14, no.
Yeah, deny it.
I would worry about, offending the developer, but apparently their fucking Twitter account is on private now. Like,
they just like went off the grid
pretty much. So yeah, that one is insane. No Pulse. We are talking about Soul Brain, Night of Darkness.
with a hearty deny it.
Yes, a hearty, hearty deny it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
let's move on to something a little bit better. Okay. N++.
Yeah.
Developed and published by MetaNet Software, released August 25th on Steam for $14.99. It originally released last July 2015 on the PS4 for $19.99. It does have a launch discount on Steam right now of $11.99. I'm not sure how long it lasts, though. This is basically, if you've ever heard of N or N Plus on the 360, PSP, DS, N++ is a continuation of the series where it's basically speedrun 2D platforming. You're a ninja. Yes. You got to pick up little golden things, and you have to get to the exit. And it sounds easy, but this game is all like, fuck you. It's not easy.
It's very... I kind of almost had the feeling of semi Meat Boy-ish kind of tendencies.
Before Meat Boy existed.
Right.
I saw you put some time into the game, so do you want to share your thoughts first?
I went into it playing Meat Boy first, technically. This is my first time playing an N plus game. So I didn't really know what I was necessarily getting into. But as soon as I went into the game and I saw the controls, I'm like, okay, so it's basically like just run through, make it to the end, collect shit. All right. So I started running through them. I'm not entirely sure how exactly there's four stages that you go through.
Five, okay. In an episode.
Okay. So when you get your rank, for like you're comparing ranks of the episodes, not the individual tracks.
Yes, of the five stage episode.
Okay. Because I was trying to understand like how the scoring system is working in this game.
It's all based on your time. Every bit of like the gold things you pick up give you 2 seconds to your timer.
The
timer goes way, way beyond what's actually shown with the gauge there.
All right.
So you can collect as much time as you can, and it all comes down to your final remaining time.
Okay. All right. Because I didn't understand exactly what was going on as far as, like, how I was getting the score that I was getting. So that kind of helps. But, yeah, I was... I forget how many I actually went through.
I know you went through a good chunk of them because I was continuing to fight against your times as I was playing.
Oh, really?
Because you got to them before me. So I'm like, I got to beat this motherfucker.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to like play some more once I end the
excited because the one stage I was ranked like number 84 worldwide, which for me, like, I'm not super great at those Twitch platformers.
Yeah.
So I was excited about that. And then, you know, just how in depth it is with like momentum based and jumping and trajectory. Like, it looks simple, but it is ridiculously deep with the physics in the game.
Yeah. Once you actually control it, because at first, I like you said, you look at it and you're like, all right, this should be pretty easy. All it is just jump from this thing, jump from that thing. But once you start realizing the nuances of like even just slightly sliding down a wall first, or like where it is, like how long that you're holding the jump button, because you're the strength of your jump depends on holding it when you make it. So
yeah,
It can be very, very precise. You have to make sure that you're not like overcompensating right or left for certain jumps, or holding down the jump too long. Like, it can get pretty complex. I didn't realize, at first. I just kind of figured it was going to be relatively basic, but
yeah. And then, of course, there's trying to collect all the gold in every stage, clearly.
Yeah.
The best part is like the five levels in an episode. If you want to replay it, you got to play the whole episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because the timer judges you on the five episodes and your time carries over. So That's why you can't just replay an individual stage.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And now speaking of stages, this game has an absurd amount of levels.
A shit ton of them.
Like, a metric shit ton, actually.
Yeah.
At literal hundreds of levels from the developers, and then there's a level editor.
Yeah.
And the N plus community is insane with the levels that they make.
Yeah, they're pretty nuts. Like, they're pretty crazy.
There's like, we know how insane people get with Super Mario Maker. Add like Twitch time and, you know, momentum physics, and it's Jesus Christ, it's insane.
Well, not to mention the fact that I even remember the type of levels that they were coming up with all the Trials games once they started implementing those. Have they, like, broken the game yet?
I don't know. Because technically, like, as of when we're talking, it just came out today.
So give it, like, a week.
Yeah, probably. Or tomorrow, I'm sure.
Someone will break the game.
Yeah.
They'll program their own game into the game.
My only issue with the level editor is I have not seen a way to report a level. Like, of course I go to the newest stuff and there's one that just made the word fuck. Like, come on, it's an E-rated game, I think. E10.
Of course.
And it's dumb. Which I can understand it's gonna happen. There's gonna be dicks in there. But at least give people a way to report them.
I mean, that's fair.
We talk about TTP on this show.
Oh, it was probably so, like 2 seconds.
Probably. So I don't doubt that stuff's going to be out there, but let, you know, for people who have kids playing it, give them a way to report stuff.
Yeah.
So that's a minor gripe though. Overall, Jesus Christ, this is a good game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. I've been enjoying it a lot.
There is no word on an Xbox version. I've been bugging them for well over a year now. They said it needs to sell well to make it happen. Apparently the PS4 version didn't sell what they expected.
That's also mainly just because I would assume that a lot of PS4 owners aren't as heavily keen into the indie scene.
I don't know. A lot of people apparently claim that the $20 price tag was the issue, which the game has well over $20 worth of content in there.
Yeah.
And now it's even $5 cheaper on Steam.
Yeah.
Plus it's on sale for the launch. So hopefully it sells well enough that they can afford an Xbox port, because N Plus was on Xbox 360 and it's actually compatible on the Xbox One through the backward compatibility program. So hopefully we see N++ make it over.
Who knows? Maybe one day.
But as it stands, $15 on Steam. Hell yes, buy it.
Oh yeah. I would go with buy it.
I think when I tweeted out about it, the word I used was masterpiece, which platforming, this is probably as close to masterpiece as you could get that doesn't have the word Mario in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. It's tight. It's very, very tight.
And Xylo mentioned in the chat, playing 4-player on N+ is insane. And they have, you know, 4-player on N++ as well. And it's, I've watched videos of it. I clearly don't have any friends to play it with because I'm a sad, lonely man.
Can you do two?
I don't know if it's online. We'll have to find out.
We'll have to find out.
One of these days, I'm going to teach these cats how to play games.
You're going to have to, man.
It's going
to
happen. It's got to happen.
How else am I ever going to see a real live game of Smash Brothers with, like, the maximum amount of controllers?
MAGFest.
Oh, well, okay, yeah, there too.
Speaking of Smash Brothers,
we should do that, actually.
What, get a Smash game going?
Yes. With as many controllers as we can.
I'm sure that happens down there. Xylo's mentioning that N+ on 360 was online and it did have 2-4. So I would hope N++ does as well.
Oh, man. Yeah, we got to do that. We'll check that after the podcast, actually.
And we'll update you next week on the show about that one. I did want to include it on the show this week, though, because it just came out. And I'm still working on getting MetaNet on the show. I'm hoping it'll happen. Fingers crossed.
We'll see.
But you mentioned Smash Brothers. That actually leads into another game we could talk about. It is called Rivals of Aether, developed and published by Dan Fornes, released July 13th on Xbox One Game Preview for $14.99. I'm hoping you've seen this game.
I'm looking at it right now.
This is 8-bit Smash Brothers.
Shut up.
Are you watching a trailer?
It says E for everyone, 10 and up, fantasy violence.
You gotta be Flash quicker on this.
War has arrived.
This is 8-bit Smash Brothers. It has all the technical intricacies of Smash Brothers with an 8-bit visual style. There are 8 characters in the game. There are 2 for like fire, 2 for water, 2 for electricity, 2 for wind. So it's all element based.
Okay.
I think those are the 4. One might be earth. I don't know. It is, it clearly has online. It is still in game preview, so it doesn't have a campaign, like a story mode yet, but it has local play against bots. And then it also has, online for the game preview version. And it is, holy shit. It's fucking Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it looks really smooth.
It's very smooth, very fluid, very responsive. The controls are great. Like, it is the closest you're going to get to Smash Brothers on an Xbox console, and it is fantastic. I mean, it's still in game preview, so we can't do a full judgment on it.
Okay.
You know, we're going to have to see how many game modes come out along the line and, you know, how in-depth the story. It's fucking $15. Like, if you're a fan of Smash Brothers and you own an Xbox One, you shouldn't even be listening to this. You should already have the game.
And this just got released?
July 13th.
Oh.
Yeah, so I've actually been holding off on the review because I've been trying to get them on the show, and, you know, they delayed because there was a wedding in the dev team, and then, you know, things are hectic with PAX coming up. So I was just right. Like, listen, I don't want to keep holding it. I do want to talk about it on the show. So I'm hopefully going to be able to get them on to chat about the game sometime. I don't know when, but I did want to cover it on the show.
Looks cool.
And that is an absolute another 100% buy it.
Yeah, this I can't get over how fluid this looks. This looks really nice.
I thought I gave you a code for that.
Negative. At least not that I remember. I might have to check. I wonder if that was one that you gave me and I just put it while I was sitting at my computer, I just put it in and then never looked at it. Let's find out. I'm going to boot up my Xbox app.
Proud of you.
Fuck.
Proud of you.
These things happen.
Let's get you involved in this. The next game to talk about is called Meridian Squad 22, developed by Elder Games, published by Merge Games and Head Up Games. It released August 11th on Steam for $14.99, and we had our friend CJ Greenwood cover this review. And he wrote that in, and Chris, you have that. So would you like to take it away, good sir?
Sure. So Meridian Squad 22 is a sci-fi futuristic RTS, most comparable to Halo Wars in the mechanics, which I will explain in a bit. The story is about a squad that went missing on the planet Meridian, and your squad is sent to investigate. When you arrive, you are attacked. Your ship is damaged, and you have to wait for repairs. While the repairing is taking place, you continue to do your mission of investigating what happened while fighting enemy soldiers and robots. It has pretty good story build-up and interesting points that keep you going to find out what happens next. You start most missions with a base starting point and must build everything else like power plants, barracks, and factories. While building up your base, you should also be looking around for canisters that can be used to upgrade abilities and unlock new units such as tanks and airships. The upgrade system is pretty expansive. It contains 3 upgrade trees: attack, economic, and defense. there are three different types of canisters to correspond with the three trees. The upgrades in these trees will require those types of canisters, as well as other types sometimes. In the upgrades, you can unlock better abilities like a meteor strike or a shield for your units. You start with one ability, which is healing. When you click on the ability, you then click on the units that you want to heal. However, I have noticed a very frustrating glitch with it, being that sometimes when you click on it, it just uses it instead of allowing you to select the specific unit you want to heal, meaning that you have to wait another 45 seconds to heal those units. And if you're in combat, those units will probably die. That can be highly annoying if you have to restart a mission because you lost all of your turrets due to not being able to heal them.
Always fun.
Much like Halo Wars, you have a limited amount of soldiers you can have at one time due to food. Each base you have gives you enough food for 15 units, so going out and getting more bases is crucial in some missions. Some units will require two food. You will have to balance out your unit types to be able to take out an enemy base and claim it as yours. I feel as though the unit restrictions may be a little bit too strict. You can only have 15 units a base, and on some missions, it doesn't feel like enough. Granted, it is possible to do those missions, just hard and frustrating. Speaking of difficulty, this game is a bit weird. For the most part, the game is pretty easy and fun. But then they throw a curveball and give you brutal difficulty spike out of nowhere on specific missions.
Ugh.
Specifically, I remember Mission 4 and Mission 9 really killing me. Mission 9, which is the last mission, was absolutely soul-crushing to get through. A 15 to 20 minute mission took 2 hours due to the massive amount of enemies that would swarm your base and kill your turrets like a butter knife slicing through room temperature butter. It was going...
Are you paying attention to Twitch chat at all?
Negative. I'm just looking at the email.
No Paul said someone should write a review for Chris with a K to read that's just one long run-on sentence.
They're long ones. It was especially aggravating due to the previously mentioned glitch with healing. Mission 4, on the other hand, was still a spike out of nowhere, but it was nothing compared to Mission 9. The gameplay is very smooth, though, and the graphics are amazing. The game looks gorgeous and plays awesomely once you get past the kinks. It is very satisfying to build a mini army and to destroy the enemy bases. While there are not many types of units, they all serve their purpose. Each unit has a strong point and a weak point. For example, the Chimera, a light mech, is useful against infantry, but isn't too great against vehicles. Although all of the naval units seem sort of pointless. In none of the missions is there any full-scale naval attack. It feels like something that was thrown in but doesn't really serve a major purpose.
These comments in chat are fucking killing me.
What are they? Should I check? Should I come back to the email?
They think you might pass out if you have too long of a sentence. Sion said, y'all are funny. Poor Chris.
What? I would stop if there was a comma. I'm just like, just saying.
I wonder if the person who wrote the review put in commas and periods. Chris knows that means to pause, yes?
No, there's no commas. I would stop at a comma.
And then Ian, Doc Havoc, is Jesus Ian. He says that you sound like the enthusiastic testimonial on an infomercial for a ridiculous product.
Well, I'm just trying to read. What the fuck's the problem?
Just imagine him saying, gee golly whiz, I sure do love my Snuggie so much.
Gee golly whiz! God damn it. Shall I continue?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Once you finish the campaign, there is still plenty more to do. First, there's conquest mode, which has you select areas to conquer. Once you select the area to conquer, you go to the area and set up your base and attack theirs, just like campaign. The point of conquest is to conquer all 140 plus areas and then make an assault on the final base of the enemy. Although I did finish the campaign, I came nowhere close to finishing this mode. This one will keep you playing for a long time. I only conquered 15 of the areas. There's also another game mode called Squad Missions, which is a completely unique experience where instead of building up a base and soldiers, you are just, there was one there that time. You are just sent to do a specific objective with a limited squad. One of the missions has you sneaking around an enemy base as a lone soldier whose goal is to assassinate the leader. You have to work around enemies and hit switches to open up doors, which change the path of some enemies, clearing a path for you to get to the leader. Another mission has you hijacking tanks from the enemy base as a squad of invisible infiltrators and then blowing up everything and leaving the area with those tanks. The price of $14.99 is extremely fair for the amount of content that is available in this game. After playing it, I'm honestly surprised the game isn't selling for $24.99.
Oh my god, don't say that. They're going to listen and hear this. Don't give them ideas.
I'm just reading the email. They could get away with that and still be offering a decent deal, but they didn't do that. Overall, I absolutely loved a lot of this game and hated some parts. The game has its kinks, but it is way too fun to pass up because of them. I legitimately spent 6 hours straight playing through the campaign without even noticing how much time had passed. I would say try it for sure. It has a problem, but what matters is that it's fun.
And it has its problems.
It has its problems, but what matters is that it's fun.
And it's only $15, so.
$15. Not bad.
I just love how the chat is just ripping you.
Yeah, all right. They don't want me. I'll just leave next time. That's fine.
I appreciate that you're talking slower because Uneaten Lake was like, oh, he reads a bit too fast. And now it just feels like you're going too slow. So now they're making fun of you for being monotone and slow.
Well, there's no pleasing them. So
I know.
I just won't do it.
Tell them how you feel, Chris.
Fuck it. The people have spoken.
Burn in hell.
Yeah.
Next game is Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, developed by Raven Software, published by Activision. It released July 28th for $39.99, or as a bundle with Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 for $59.99. We did cover the first game a couple weeks back, finally getting around to the second one. If you're not familiar with the game, it is clearly the sequel to Marvel Ultimate Alliance. This one is more kind of like a dungeon crawl, or no, this one is more like a beat-em-up, and the first one was more like a dungeon crawler. That makes
sorry,
sense?
I'm going through Twitch chat. I'm trying to catch up to, like, all the bullshit that I did, apparently.
Nice. So, yeah, this game is more like a beat-em-up, like co-op beat-em-up, where the first game was more kind of like dungeon crawlery. The story in this one kind of follows like the Civil War-style storyline where you got to pick a side, and then certain characters are locked out through the game. The gameplay itself, it's a lot shorter than the first one. I think that was my biggest gripe, where I can understand having a different play style, but it felt significantly shorter for the first one, which
okay.
was kind of a bummer. I don't want to spend too much time on it just because it is a re-release of, again, this is a game from, what, 2008, 2009, something like that, on the 360 and PS3.
I didn't play them when they came out originally.
My same gripes with the first one are here in that it just feels like it was kind of a minimum effort port from the 360 and the PS3.
So they didn't really give it any love. They just kind of like
the textures look good. The actual in-game textures look good. The videos, you know, like the first one, it just. This is my same gripe with every remaster we see, where the in-game textures are always bumped up, but the videos and cutscenes are just, you know, the same lower-res videos.
So it's really staggering when you're going between each of them. I could see that.
I mean, it taken as it is, a $40 game, it's a fun game. It has the online co-op. The DLC is included with this one. No waiting for a patch or anything. As it is, it's a try it. It's more so a try it if you pick up the two pack. If you've already played it on the 360 or PS3, there's really no reason to pick it up. Unless you just want to dive back in. Given that Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 by itself on the 360 has been $30, $40, it's really not a horrible price for it.
It's not great either.
I mean, the first one was tougher to swallow because it's just the vanilla version of the game, where that one for the 360 was sold with Forza 2 in the bundles, so you could find the vanilla version of that game for a fucking quarter at GameStop. With Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, getting it and the DLC was a lot tougher, so the value is actually really there for it. If you're getting the two-pack, it's definitely a better value than just getting one of them. So, they're still fun, good games, but they're older games, and I don't know. I wish Activision would go cheaper on these bundles and these re-releases. At least it's not as bad as the Transformer one that's one game at $50.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
But, you know, if people are buying these, they're going to keep doing it. So, they're still fun games, though. I got to be fair. They're still fun games to play. So, try it. If you've never played them before, they're worth checking out. If you have played them before, you're good.
You're good. You experienced it.
Next game to talk about. Suck it up and move on. Pretty much. Next game to talk about is called Slime Rancher, developed and published by Monomi Park. It released August 19th on Xbox Game Preview for $19.99. It originally released January 14th on Steam Early Access, also for $19.99. Chris, you put a bunch of time into this when you were up here. What do you think?
I played it for a little while. I don't know if I really delved into the depths of what you can really do with this game. But it kind of gave me almost a first person, almost Animal Crossing-esque feel to it, mixed with,
Luigi's Mansion.
I was going to say Luigi's Mansion with the vacuum cleaner.
I mean, let's get this out of the way first. This is a fucking adorable game.
Oh yeah. As soon as I booted it up, as soon as I was on the splash screen, I'm like, oh, this is going to be adorable. This is good. This is going to be cute. So I went into it and I'm like, all right, they drop you right in. They don't really tell you what to do. They'll as you come across stuff, it'll give you a little bit of a tooltip, but I just got dropped in and I'm like, all right, I have no idea what's going on. Let's figure it out. So you collect these piles of goo. These slimes. And you're supposed to essentially round them up and then keep them at your house. As a pet, essentially. You're building up a farm, so to speak. You can actually collect produce. I was collecting carrots and I made a garden so that I could get more carrots so I can feed them to the,
yeah, the chicken
and the chickens. I had chickens. But being able to do all that kind of stuff so that you're using resources to gain more resources to implement into other stuff.
Piles of goo. That's the name of my band.
Piles of goo.
Oh shit.
It's cool. I mean, you run around, you explore a little bit. The controls are actually very responsive. And it did run very well. It was adorable. I mean, I don't really know, what, I didn't dive into it a ton.
I mean, it's still in game preview and it's still early. I think they're aiming for full release next year sometime.
Okay.
So it's still early on, more content's going to be coming. There's areas in the game that are blocked off.
Yeah, so they're blocked off almost like, think of it almost like you kind of have to, like certain levels in Mario, you had to collect certain, you had to have a certain amount of stars. With this, you could just collect a certain amount of the gold and then unlock the level by doing that. Like it's, so I didn't have enough gold to unlock another level, so I was still on that first opening area. But the maps looked pretty big to me.
Yeah, it was a big open area. I went to play it myself, and for some reason, I think like when you were playing it, it was saved on my profile. So I just continued off where you left off.
Oh, perfect.
And, you know, I was running around, you know, collecting slimes and fruit and everything else. I explored that one area with the giant slime that we saw.
Oh, yeah. The one I ran away from.
I found a hidden area with another giant slime and a kind of like a treasure chest filled with money, and the game locked up. Like a full on hard lock. And I don't know if that's just, you know, a hiccup I ran into, because we didn't have any other lockups, but I gotta mention that we ran into one.
Yeah. So. Yeah, obviously.
I'm a cheater about something. What the hell is going on?
Just a cheater. Because you were probably using my
save file. Oh, yeah, because I played your save file.
That's fine.
Leet hacks.
Yep.
I'm save scumming. What is it? For $20, I think it's really cool. It's adorable. It's worth buying just for the fucking slimes.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty cute.
I'm definitely eager to see what gets added to it over the coming months.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, because it's in game preview, we don't know what it's going to turn into down the road. So
Ian says it's probably a hiccup on my end. I'm guessing he put plenty of time in with it. He compared it to Pokemon and Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, he's seen people stream the heck out of it without problems. So it's possible it's either just a hiccup with the Xbox or, you know, it's just one of those things. So it's
just one of those days.
I didn't save in a while, though, so I'm worried about how much was lost.
Well, these things happen.
True.
We'll just have to go collect more.
True. All right, next game to chat about. This is another one for you. Obliteracers, developed by Varkian Empire, published by Deck 13. We had Michael Haas, Michael Haas was on the show a while back, and the game is finally hitting the Xbox One. It releases August 26th, so it'll be out by the time you're listening to this, for $13.99, and our friend Uneaten Lake wrote in his review of that. So do you want to take that away, Chris?
Sure. So the game is split into two categories, multiplayer and career mode. Multiplayer can support up to 8 players for local play and 16 players online. There are settings for the amount of bots that you want playing with you, as well as a whole section for game modes. Some of the modes that you can do are things like removing certain weapons from the game or making the ground feel like ice. You can also change the game mode to one of your favorites from career mode. I mentioned multiplayer first because this is where the game, I think, will truly shine if you have friends you can play with locally, or if there's a big enough community online to play with. Ah, Jesus Christ. Unfortunately for me, I've been playing this game before its release, so there aren't any online matches for me to play in unless I hunt down someone else who is reviewing the game. If you have friends who come over to game with you, I would say that this game is a must-buy just because of the multiplayer matches. If you have a close group of friends that are online and willing to drop $14 on a new title, I would suggest it as well. It feels like you'd have the same type of fun that you'd get out of playing a game like Rocket League, but more with a Mario Kart feel. Career mode spans 24 levels using different game types. Most of the game types are basically eliminating all the players, with the big difference being in how you get the points to win. The game modes are Survival, Knockout, Endurance, and Leader. These modes are also playable via multiplayer, but you're forced to play the different modes as you continue through the career. I liked how the career mode mixes up the game types, though, as it made it fun to switch things up every race. In order to advance to the next race, though, you will need to unlock enough bombs in the previous races. With 68 total bombs to win, there's quite a bit of gameplay in career mode. There's an achievement for getting all 68 bombs, which means you will have to come in first place in all of the races. I found a few of the races in career mode to be a little frustrating at times, especially because of some of the 12-player endurance races that can tend to be a clusterfuck.
You could talk about that in a moment.
This game was really fucking crazy. I still had fun, even though I struggled to get first place a few times. Speaking of achievements, some of them will come naturally, but a few will need to set up in order to get them if you're an achievement hunter. One odd achievement has you driving backwards and killing 250 bots. This one may not seem too bad until you realize how hard it can be to get your car to spin around to go backwards and then drive backwards long enough to kill 250, since the controls are now the opposite of when you were driving forwards. A few other achievements can be either done with a second controller or with getting specific modes, game types with 1 to 16 bots. My wife commented that it looked like Mario Kart, but the gameplay was quite a bit different. Every player shares the same screen instead of having their own sectioned off area of the TV. The camera also mainly focuses the person who is in first place and eliminates any player who ends up driving off the screen. If you're looking for a Mario Kart clone, you should probably look elsewhere. Obliteracers is a combat-heavy racing game where you tend to slide across the track more than you steer your vehicle. Some people may not like the controls, but I had fun drifting around corners and sliding into competition. I'm sure with a room full of people, the game gets better as you end up smashing up your vehicle into friends and using various weapons to take them out of the race. I enjoyed my time with Obliteracers. I would give it a buy-it recommendation at $13.99. It can be fun for someone just playing solo, or I'm sure it's a blast playing multiplayer. Now, Joe, you and I, like, you didn't really hop in a lot when I played this when I was over at your place, right?
No, because you didn't have too much time when we got to that one.
Yeah.
Since you had to leave early in the morning, so I just, you know, I let you play some of the career stuff, and then I made you start an endurance game of you and 15 bots.
Okay.
And I told you to put it to max players, and that's when shit went crazy.
I could not see shit.
Yeah, I mentioned this when Michael was on the show, that when there gets to be a certain number of people on the screen, you don't know what the fuck is happening, but you're enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. I was still enjoying myself, regardless of what was going on. But there were times that I had no, like, I would get bumped off the screen, and I wouldn't realize that I was bumped off the screen yet. But then once I realized I was bumped off the screen, I was already coming back in, but I couldn't recuperate from where I was because, like, we were already traveling so fast. It can get pretty hectic. But I did some of the solo career, and the solo career was a little bit more manageable. So it was fun. It's different.
I would go try it. We liken it more to Smash Brothers than Mario Kart.
Yeah. It's more like Smash Brothers, I would say. Kind of just battle arena-y kind of thing.
And a shout-out to Blue Dude, who apparently just followed us on Twitch, so thanks. I'm assuming you're lurking, because I haven't seen you chat, but...
It's possible.
Thank you for the follow, giving you a shout-out on the show.
There you go. He's the only person that we've called out, right? Have we done that a couple
times? I don't really get many follows on, you know, during our show, so...
It's very true.
I just got the email for it, so that's why he gets a shout-out.
Well, there you go.
And then I think you can email us. Everyone else in the chat already on this episode.
I think so. But you can also email us at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com.
What was that email address, Chris?
thesmlpodcast@gmail.com.
And you can email us and talk to us. And you can enter our contests.
Yeah, and then we'll shout you out.
Like, if you're not following us on Twitter, you may have missed the news that we are doing a giveaway for Kill All Zombies on the Xbox One. All you gotta do is email us and tell us why you want the game.
That's pretty simple.
And then you know what else we have codes for?
What's that?
Obliteracers.
Get out.
And you know what else we have codes for?
What's that?
Two games we're going to be covering next week. Nightmares from the Deep 2 on Xbox One from Artifex Mundi, and iZombie on the Xbox One.
Cool.
From Awesome Game Studio.
Another Artifex Mundi game.
Yes.
Man, they're pumping them out, man.
So yeah, all those games, Kill All Zombies, Obliteracers, Nightmares from the Deep, iZombie. I still have another code for Dreamals and Qbert Rebooted. So all you got to do is email us, thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us why you want one of those games. If you want multiples, send different emails for each one. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, we don't.
I don't give a fuck.
We don't check that shit.
I don't give a fuck. How many people have, like, won multiple games on a week?
A few times, I would assume.
A lot of times. Because we don't have many listeners.
But there are.
Next game to talk about is called Armacrog, developed and published by Pencil Test Studios.
Gesundheit?
Yes. It released August 23rd on the Xbox One. I believe it's on other platforms as well for $9.99. I believe this originally released on Steam for $24.99. So it's cool to see it down to $10. It is currently
on Steam for $24.99.
So there you go. Xbox One is $9.99. It's actually launch sale for $8.99. So.
Oh, wow.
Get it while the getting's hot. This is a old school point and click adventure game. Like, you're controlling the pointer and you are, you know, click here to walk here, click here to interact with this. The big twist with this is all the animation is like stop motion clay animated.
This looks fucking crazy.
The game is just ridiculously awesome.
This looks beautiful. What the fuck?
I love the visuals of the game. I love the setting, the character design. The voice acting is incredible. The lead character voiced by Michael J. Nelson of Mystery Science Theater.
What?
Yeah. And I found out while looking at the credits, one of our dear friends is in the game.
Who?
Playing the father in the game, Mr. Bob Baffy.
Well, fucking of course it's Bob.
Yeah, it's got a great voice cast, great voice acting. The music is phenomenal. Let me see if I could pull up who the composer is, because I'm actually going to play Armacrog music at the end of the show. I already decided that's who's got to be on the show this week for music. Just my minor gripes with the game. The first is kind of a rough one. All the actual stop motion animated claymation stuff, the video quality, at least on the Xbox One, is really pixely.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if the PC version has like HD quality, but it looks very like it needs anti-aliasing.
Oh, okay.
It's just noticeable how pixely, like, I don't want to say it looks grainy. It's just pixely. It's like looking at a real player video.
That's strange.
It was enough to annoy me, but not enough to ruin the game. No Pulse is asking the achievements. Actually, fairly easy. There's only, I want to say, two that are truly missable. Three, technically, because the one, there's like a hidden vehicle in the game. When you travel from tower to tower in the game, you jump in these different vehicles, and there's like a hidden special one in the game. And there's one for finding that, and then one for finding it and beating the game, which I missed the first time around. Like, the first time I played through it, it was probably a good 4 hours, 5 hours.
Okay.
Some of the puzzles in the game are really, really cool. Some really get you to think outside the box. Everything is doable. Just might take some work. There's also like a Hall of Heroes or Hall of Legends that's missable. If you go past the one part where you pull a lever and this house like stretches down, you cannot go back to that area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you miss that one, you need to start over. because I missed those the first time around and I kind of just wanted to go through the game again, I ran through the game again. I think it only took me not even an hour the second time through because I knew all the puzzles already.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to speedrun it?
I already did. So oh, okay. I got my 1,000 in the game. So yeah, achievements are not difficult at all. Most of them are just you get them as you go through the game.
Okay.
Yeah, music's good. Voice acting is good. The puzzles are great. There was a puzzle type that I hated in the game. When you go into towers, there's like a lock on it, and it's kind of like a sliding block puzzle where there's four different areas, and there's like one free spot for you to move things around, and you have to turn a dial to one area, slide a block into the dial, turn it elsewhere, move the block out, and it wouldn't be too, like, I imagine this one's really easy to do on a mouse and keyboard, but doing it on a controller was just frustrating.
I could see that.
They, in the options, there's something for, like, a smart cursor where it'll lock into an area if it's close to something you can interact with. Turn that off for these puzzles because I fought that more than anything else. It would snap onto the piece in the dial instead of letting me snap onto the dial to move it.
Okay.
But once I turned off the smart cursor, it made it a lot easier.
All right. I mean, I've always had some issues with, that was one of the problems that I had with Kerbal. On the console, just because it was a little awkward trying to use a controller for something that was clearly made for PC.
Yeah. And then the only other issue I ran into was, I ran into a crash at the same spot multiple times where you'll climb, there's like an octopus that you can use to climb up and down or a squid. And when I got to the top, you would click on him to initiate a cutscene. But it would just lock up at the cutscene. It was a soft lock, so I was able to just hit the start button, exit out to the menu, load it back up. I would click on the squid again, and the cutscene would play fine, but it did happen multiple times.
That's so, okay. All right, something to consider.
It's a minor nuisance. It was just quit out, load it back up, and the video played fine. But that was there. It did happen multiple times to me. So it might be something that needs to be patched. I don't think that was just a random thing on my end. For $10, this, if you're a fan of point and click adventure games, this is an absolute buy it. The writing is fantastic. It is ridiculously funny. Voice acting is great. The visuals are beautiful. Music's awesome, which we're going to be playing at the end of the show. So, yeah, Armacrog, absolute buy it.
Cool.
Sounds one more game, Chris. You excited?
I'm beyond ecstatic.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I do know what it is.
What is it?
It's fucking Worms, man.
Worms, WMD, developed and published by Team 17, releases August 23rd for $29.99. The All-Stars Edition is available at retail, and it was a digital bonus.
Right?
Digital. Good stuff. So, Chris.
It was for, like, extra masks and stuff, right?
Yeah. There was a whole bunch of shit.
There's a shit ton of them.
There's a goat on a rope weapon and mask set from Goat Simulator. There's stuff from Bro Force, the dubstep gun from Saints Row, the Escapists, Rocket League, Orcs Must Die, Ukulele, Unturned, Payday 2, Classic Worms, and then Xbox Exclusive had a rare All-Stars pack with a Joanna Dark attack that you can craft and mask set from Blast Corps, Jet Force Gemini, Jetpack, Battletoads, and a full gore mask from Killer Instinct, which is what my worms are wearing.
Now, let's back up a little bit and go over one of the things that was mentioned as one of the bonuses. Something that you can craft. So yes. Now, in this newer version of Worms...
Well, first off, if you've never played a Worms game, how do we describe Worms?
Well, why don't we just use our chat, because there's a suggestion in chat Do you want to read that?
Let's see. Describing Worms, it's a game where you play as well as a well-armed worm, intent on destroying all other worms and being the top worm.
So yeah, so you're that's Worms.
If you're not familiar with the gameplay, 2D plane, kind of the best I can kind of compare it to for you new kids these days is kind of like a turn-based Angry Birds against other people.
Oh, I hate that we have to make that comparison,
know,
but it makes sense.
It feels dirty.
It does.
Or for you older folks, scorched earth like a motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
Or for the older folks, MS-DOS gorillas. Chucking a banana at people.
I forgot about that. Fuck. Wow. That's going back.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Programming class in high school. Some kids, you know, figured out how to get into the DOS stuff, and some people would play Snake. Fuck that. The cool kids played gorillas.
I played Wheel of Fortune. It was not that good.
Doc Havoc, scorched earth on cocaine.
Basically.
No, I think that's, what the fuck was the one on Steam? Shit, what was that, the scorched earth game-like game on Steam? Shellshock Live?
Maybe.
I think it is. That's scorched earth on cocaine.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Shellshock Live. Talked about that one a while back.
But yeah, so this new Worms, it looks really, really nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's like all hand-drawn visuals this time.
Yeah, there's some extra like little stuff like environmental things and the crafting stuff. So you can use elements of things that you find within the arena that you can craft into items that you already have to make better versions. Or yeah. Alternate versions.
Or you could disassemble weapons you have.
To use the parts to build other stuff. But it's something that you have to take into consideration during your turn because it normally takes time to do those things.
Yeah.
Like, so you can't just like craft a weapon and then just immediately use it and then, you know, move on to the next person.
Yeah. What was I trying to... I went to make... I had
flaming
a baseball
bat
and I was
going
like to make a flaming baseball bat. And I was going to hit you with it, but I went to make it, and it was processing. So I didn't get to use that till my next turn.
Yes.
So there is strategery required.
Strategery.
With creating and crafting, which I think is a cool addition to add crafting to the game.
Well, see, now here's the interesting thing for me. I remember back in the day when, was it Worms Atomic Edition on the PC? Where I was able to make my own fucking weapons, like
really?
Legitimately program my own into my own weapons into the game.
Huh.
Like it wasn't technically sanctioned. I don't think. I don't remember. But all I remember was making like.
Are you a hacker?
We would import in our own like our own pictures to use as the weapons, and we would do like airdrops of just like.
Dicks.
Just, I mean, we never actually did that,
but
we would drop
bomb.
Other shit. Yeah, like dumb stuff. Because the one used to be the Marlon Brando bomb. It was MB bomb. It was just a giant fat guy that would just float down from the top. So we made an alternate version that would legitimately just drop like pictures of Marlon Brando. Like from the
that's awesome.
From the sky. It was awesome. So being able to like craft stuff and go outside of the realm of just the regular like couple, which don't get me wrong, the normal weapons that are in Worms are always funny anyway, because you got like the fucking holy hand grenade and like
sheep.
and then your grandmas and all this other stuff. But being able to kind of like kick the door open a little bit more and have a bunch of outrageous, ridiculous versions of these weapons is a lot, you know, it's a lot cooler in my eyes. There's a ton of customizability, online play and all that stuff. It's a solid, if you've played a Worms game before, you're obviously going to enjoy this one because it is very much a quintessential, like, solid Worms title. It's not like, obviously there's a bunch of different Worms games that kind of went outside the comfort zone and did some really ridiculous stuff that wasn't, you know, they branched outside of the core values of what a Worms game should be. This is a quintessential Worms game.
And the thing is, this one branches out quite a bit too, because it adds vehicles.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
stationary guns.
And mechs.
Fucking mechs and helicopters. What was the one that you picked up the, or no, it just dropped a fucking Rocket League car.
Oh yeah.
And you hopped in and you would jump and you could thrust and you could in air.
Thrust in air. And I was like, fuck, I don't know how to do this.
And then the fucking mech where you would jump in it and you could do a ground pound that wrecked people.
Oh yeah.
That was like fucking 50 damage when it hit.
Yeah, there was one where I hit you like just right in the corner where you went flying across the screen.
That was hilarious.
That was good. But, and here's the other thing. If you've never played a Worms game before, if you want to talk about a party game, because technically Worms, since it's turn-based, you don't have to have a shit ton of controllers when you have people over. You could just pass the same controller around.
Yeah, pass and play. Plus online as well, which you need to pick it up still.
I do.
Chop chop, bitch.
I know. I had to pay bills.
Yeah, I'm gonna pay bills.
Yeah. Money, man.
Bills.
I have responsibilities, man.
But there, actual content-wise, there is a ton in the game. There's training. Yeah. There is pro training, all with leaderboards, by the way. And I was excited when on the helicopter one, I was number one. I'm sure I'm not anymore.
Probably not.
But, and it wasn't like I was number one out of like 8 people. There were like over 100 people already.
Nice.
So I felt good.
I did something.
I felt special. There cool. is a campaign with missions and, like bonus objectives you could do, like make sure all your worms are in a building at the end of the game, or like kill 3 worms in 1 attack, stuff like that.
Yeah.
There are also like bonus side scenarios that you can do. Even more with the All-Stars bonus, Randall's heading out. So thanks for joining, Randall. It was good seeing you and lurking. So love you. Love you, boo. Hey, yo, girl. Hey, y'all.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Of course, online mode, which is always, always fantastic. Every Worms game is legendary with the Worms team customization. You could change the mask that you wear, which again, my team had Fulgore. There are a ton of different voice banks that you can unlock, which I went with the rapper.
Oh yeah, that one was funny.
There's you could change the tombstone that you have, your victory theme,
your fanfare, yeah,
and you can unlock more through the campaign as well. So cool. I think a lot of people are kind of complaining that it's $30 instead of like $20. I think there's plenty of content for $30.
Yeah.
If you actually play through it all, especially if you got the All-Stars version.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like pre-order DLC, the All-Star stuff, I don't know if it's still available bundled with it or not. I already have it, so I can't check the store. But the amount of bonus content in that All-Stars pack is ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It's not just a little fluff package. Like, it's more than just masks. There's masks, weapons, bonus missions. Like, it's just ridiculous how much shit is in there. $30, I'm giving it a buy it.
Yeah, Worms. I like Worms.
Let's play online sometime.
Worms are fun.
So, if you're in chat, let's play online sometime.
Worms.
So, yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, me too.
You got anything else to talk about?
Negative.
Cool.
I got nothing.
Cool. Cool beans. So, that is it for this episode, I guess. I thought we were going to have a kind of a shorter one, but We kind of got long-winded with some of those reviews. We just got sidetracked.
Reviews take a long time.
There's some good shit to talk about, too. And then one really, really bad thing to talk about.
Yeah, that too.
I hate being negative about games, but it just...
It's kind of hard not to when it's that. Like,
like, you know we like being positive about stuff, but that is just a dumpster fire situation right there. But next week, we should have, I believe, two different episodes going next week. Otherwise, Chris, you would probably lose your mind with the amount of reviews.
Oh, no.
There's a lot next. Like, out of nowhere, shit is getting insane with releases right now. It is
from out of nowhere.
Absurd. RKO out of nowhere. By God Almighty, he's broken in half.
Oh, I don't know if you noticed this. Here's a last bit of news that I just saw pop up on my news feed while I was browsing. Okay. A new Duke Nukem game might be announced soon.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, where a countdown timer popped up to end on September 2nd, something like that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So I'm sure we will get to that eventually when that gets revealed.
I'll be so excited. I don't care what anybody says. I like the last Duke Nukem game, so fucking sue me. I don't care.
I am. I'm going to sue you.
I don't care. I liked it.
You're going to jail, bitch.
I liked it. It was Duke Nukem. It was a Duke Nukem game. I liked it.
Cool.
That's cool. My reasoning.
Cool, cool, cool.
My reasoning is it was a Duke Nukem game, so I enjoyed it.
So yeah, thanks everyone for listening to this episode. Stick around for the Armacrog music. Next week, we're going to have some cool stuff. We are going to have an interview with the wonderful, wonderful Tony from,
pulling up the email.
I lost it on my list. I'm an asshole. Oh my God. I don't think it's on my list.
That sucks.
What the fuck happened to it?
I stole it.
God damn it.
I came over and I deleted it off of your screen.
God damn it. I feel like a dick now.
Oh my God. We're going to have an interview.
Ant Workshop. That's it.
There it is. Old.
For the game Binaries. The interview's fantastic. That'll be out next. Why the fuck isn't it on my list? Oh my God, I have to add more shit to the list. Jesus.
Oh shit.
There's another game. But yeah, it's a good interview at least next week. It's awesome. I don't want to pull up my email because I might show something I don't want to show on the other screen.
Don't do that. You don't want to do that.
And, Shion is happy about us doing a live show on a day she can listen. So, see, Thursdays are good, Chris.
They are. It's the only problem is when I have shows, because yeah. I have shows on Thursdays sometimes. So,
and then I have to decide whether I want to do all the editing tonight or just procrastinate until tomorrow.
Just put it up a little later tomorrow. That's all.
Procrastinate like a motherfucker.
It's whatever. Because let's be honest. It's already 11 o'clock.
The SML podcast at gmail.com. Get some free fucking games from us.
Yeah. You should probably email us.
Yeah. Got any final words?
My final words are, you should probably email us.